ॐ शुक्लाम् भरवरम् विष्णुम् शशिवर्णम् चतुर्भुजम् प्रसन्नवदनम् ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये। ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। ॐ The last Nama that we saw was 474th Nama, Daneshwaraha, Daneshwaraha, the Lord of Wealth. The Lord is the one who gave wealth to his devotees like Kuchela, etc. The Lord of Wealth, meaning the entire world is none other than the Lord. So wealth means all the good things that help us towards spiritual prosperity. You know, in fact, the material wealth also will have meaning when we acquire it, when it helps us to progress spiritually, prosper spiritually. But if the material wealth is going to make us move away from the center, away from the self, then it is of no good, it is of no use, you know. So, when we talk about the Lord and His names, the Lord is the one who is none other than the awareness. So, that light of consciousness will always be auspicious. So, he says, Daneshwaraha, the Lord of Wealth, and the term wealth here means all the good things in the universe. So, all the wealth, the Lord of all the wealth, also the Lord of good things. In the sense, due to the awareness, there will only be goodness. There won't be any negativity. So, Daneshwaraha. You want material wealth? You need awareness. You need to work with awareness. If you want knowledge wealth, you need to contact knowledge scriptures with awareness. Develop your intellect. So, all wealth will be possible for a person who surrenders to Mahavishnu. And the greatest of all wealth, what is the greatest of all wealth? Being detached.
Knowledge.
Oh. Being detached with reference to the world. That's the greatest knowledge you can have, greatest wealth you can have. So, Daneshwaraha. Goddess Lakshmi resides in him. That's why he's called as Sri Nivas. He is the abode for Goddess Lakshmi. So Lakshmi means all kind of prosperity. You know? So, Daneshwaraha, the Lord of Wealth. See, when wealth lords over you, which is the case in generally in human beings, wealth lords over us. But whereas here, he lords over the wealth. You can lord over anything only if you are detached. You'll be using it. You won't allow it to use you. Today, the problem is we have mortgaged our life with all the material stuff. So, Daneshwara, next shloka. Dharma gup dharma krit dharmi sada sat sharam aksharam अभिज्ञाता सहस्रांशुः विदाता कृतलक्षणः धर्मगुप्तधर्मकृद्धर्मी सतसत्थक् क्षरमक्षरम् अभिज्ञाता सहस्रांशुः विदाता कृतलक्षणः 475th nama is Dharmagub. Dharmagub means one who protects dharma. In the Bhagavad Gita he says, no, whenever adharma takes over dharma, I manifest to protect dharma and annihilate adharma. So the protector of dharma, the protector of order, righteousness. In every yuga, yuge yuge, he says. again and again I'll take birth to protect dharma. See, it's interesting actually, if you see from the individual angle also, we will out of ego do a lot of selfish action, and as a result of selfish action, agitations come, and as a result of agitations, we will not do the right actions. As a result, we will meet with failure, followed by sorrow, agitation, etc. So basically, life starts putting us in difficult circumstances. When life starts putting us in difficult circumstances, we'll become more aware. It's quite interesting. When they say there's going to be water scarcity, or if you're living in an apartment complex, they'll say today we are going to have to clean all the tanks. So from this time to this time, there won't be water coming. Then immediately you would have filled up a few buckets and use it very, very carefully, isn't it? So when they say you have very little water available, you immediately become more aware as to how to use it, isn't it? So what is actually happening in the individual life, if you see? When things are going fine, we become more arrogant maybe, and we do all kinds of nonsense, and then the cycle changes. Then slowly, slowly you find difficult situation comes. And when difficult situation comes, everybody becomes more alert, aware. During this corona time, in the beginning especially, they said, my God, you can't even get out. Like, road was completely empty, So they used to open the market only from this time to this time. Everybody was so alert and aware. Suddenly, when you are put in difficulty, you become alert. So what he is trying to say? Dharma slowly is made as it's maintained, things are going on fine, and then when things are going fine, you take it easy, you start doing all nonsense, then suddenly you find that things have gone haywire, and then again awareness comes and sets things right. Then again when things have become fine, again you become little lethargic. And again you have to become more aware because difficult situation comes. Isn't that happens in the individual life? The same thing happens at the total level. So he says, whenever adharma takes over dharma, meaning dharma declines and adharma rises, I come again and again. Yada yadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijami aham. I come again and again and again. For what purpose? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkutam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In all these yugas I keep taking. Yugas means time and again, All of us have this tendency. When things are going smooth, we suddenly relax. When things become difficult, again we tighten up, and then this kind of cycle continues. So he says, dharma gup, one who protects dharma. So if you keep worshipping Lord Vishnu with all various namas and developing focus, the mind will be practiced to channelize towards the center. It's not running helter-skelter. The nature of the mind is to run. So the mind that runs, we need to give a point of focus. So this Vishnu Sahasranama worship and all that is only that, to achieve that only. So when we start giving that, what happens is, the awareness intensifies from within. Mind stops moving helter-skelter. So that is why he says, the protector of dharma, he who protects dharma, called dharma gupt, dharma krut, one who acts dharma. Meaning, I've said this many times, when you become aware, nothing but good will come out of it. With awareness, you can't do wrong things, not possible. You try. whenever you become aware, it's impossible you can do adharmic activities. So that's why it is, you know. Strictly speaking, pure consciousness is beyond dharma and adharma. But here he's called as dharma krit. Though it is beyond dharma and adharma, when it manifests through the individual and the individual's sattva guna is predominant, what comes out is only dharma. Therefore, dharma krit, dharmi, next nama. Dharmi means the supporter of dharma. Dharma itself is what dharmi means. The very seat of all dharmas. Now, whether you are a Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmana, in whatever dharma you may be, for you to do your activities in that respective ashrama, to follow the respective ashrama dharma, the pure consciousness will have to enliven your body, mind, intellect. And it is always supporting the body, mind, intellect by enlivening it. Hence, the pure consciousness is called as dharmi. Dharmi. Dharmi means the supporter of dharma. Meaning what? If you follow dharma, Narayana is always with you. See, if you ask a question, okay, if I am following dharma, do I have to go to mandir, mosque? Not necessary. You need not. But then why do you go there? How is it helpful? Anybody? How is it helpful to go to this mandir, mosque and church, etc.?
I think sometimes it just centers you, brings that awareness back to you.
Get your focus, you're focusing on that one aspect, on the consciousness or on God or Atma.
So for support and security, it's kind of brainwashed into you since you were kids, that they will help with prayers and bring back
I like the word you said, brainwashed. See, when you go to the mandir, it's the vibration that's different. The frequency there. You know, everybody, whoever comes there, there is bhakti bhav. Even those people who are asking, they are accepting that they are helpless. So they are saying, this ego, the individual, is small compared to the big. In fact, that's why, you know, when you go to the mandir, the vibration there is something else. A lot of people assemble there with devotion. So that atmosphere helps you to also focus on the divinity more. But if you can do that without going to mandir, you don't have to go. So if you understand this, you will not criticize people who go to mandir. But the problem is a lot of people don't go with this kind of understanding. That is also another problem. So, it's out of fear. It's out of mechanical, like she said, conditioning. You know. So, this is how people are going. But the beauty is, the atmosphere is completely different. See, like, college students or school children, when they leave their houses to go to the bus stand to catch the bus, usually, the college may be far away, you know, outskirts, especially in Chennai, it's like this. I don't know how it is in Delhi. In Delhi also, most of these engineering colleges, private ones are outskirts. So, they go to a central bus stand and from there, all the friends come there together. Each fellow goes from the house and takes a bus and then goes to the central bus stand where the college bus comes, or they take the bus which goes to their college directly. So all the college boys, they assemble together in one place, and as the students start gathering, the whole atmosphere changes. When the fellow was going alone, he'll be quiet. Suddenly 3, 4, 5, 6 fellows have joined together, they'll start doing all kinds of things. You know, mass psychology. Similarly, when you go to the mandir, And slowly, slowly, everybody brings their bhakti. That environment charges with a different vibration. That helps. So therefore they said, you know, you do it. And once you, it's like, you know, what do you call? You charge the battery and then you put it inside the car, and as the car runs, the battery starts getting charged. He says, don't keep it idle. You keep it idle for a few months, you come back, it would have been depleted. So you've got to keep on running it. So if you constantly practice bhakti bhav, then the awareness intensifies. When you reach a certain level of awareness, thereafter you may not need the prop, but still in grihastha ashrama, even though some parents could have reached that height, they would still follow the tradition because of the tradition they have come to this level. So by following the tradition, they are giving an opportunity for the kids to come to that level, you know. So that's why all these things should continue. Just because you have gained the jnanam, you won't stop it. You'll never stop it. Dharmi, the supporter of dharma. So when you follow dharma, the pure consciousness supports you. Pure consciousness always enlivens you. But the fact that you are getting closer and closer to the self, the conscience pricking is not there. So, you know, it's almost supporting and taking you towards the higher. Upadrashta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhakta, Maheshwara. Says the Gita, you know. So, first witness, then supporter. Pure consciousness supports your endeavor when you give in to righteousness. Then Sat. Sat means existence. The reality. The existence in all things and beings is always the same. The same ever. That all-pervading existence is a pure consciousness. Ever-present principle is the same self that enlivens the beings of the past, is the same self that enlivens the beings in the present, the same self that enlivens the beings of the future. So it's not just the Sat, it is also the Asat. In this shloka, he says, Sat, Asat, Karam, Aksharam, Avijnata. Beautiful namas there. The Sat is pure consciousness, the Asat is also pure consciousness. Asat, the conditioned consciousness, the limited, the individual, jiva, is also none other than Narayana, the pure consciousness. Narayana himself has become this world, isn't it? So the pure consciousness is Sat, but it is the same thing that has become the Asat. So he says in Bhagavad Gita, I am at once mortality and mortality, and both existence and non-existence. Sat, Asat. Beautiful namas. Then Sharam, Aksharam. Sharam means that which perishes. Aksharam means imperishable. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Shara Akshara Uttama Purusha. Shara is the perishable aspect. Aksharam, when you say, the imperishable in the perishable. But actually, Brahman is beyond Sharam and Aksharam also. Maya Sahita Brahman, which is Ishvara, from whom this Hiranyagarbha and Virat Purusha evolves. The subtle world and the gross world. So when a person dies, the physical body perishes, but the subtle body and vasanas continue. Then it takes another form, etc. Finally, when the subtle body and vasanas dissolve, only the pure consciousness exists. And that pure consciousness, which is existence, has become this non-existence. And that as non-existence, it perishes. As existence, it's always imperishable. Sat, asat, sharam, aksharam. If you understand this, you will not have confusion in many aspects actually. The concept is similar. A lot of people say, sir, you are supposed to have compassion, but in leadership, sometimes you have to be very strict. How can we do this? Same thing. Aksharam from the total point of view, but sharam from the limited point of view. Similarly, from the total, you will have compassion, but from the role angle, you need to be strict where you have to be strict. So then there won't be any confusion. So, sat, asat, sharam, aksharam. Then another beautiful nama, avijnata. Vijnata, avijnata. Now, what is the interpretation given in the book I gave you for avijnata?
It says one who is without the attributes of a jiva or vijnata, like sense of agency, etc.
Correct. One who is without the attributes of a jiva or vijnata, like sense of agency, etc. See, who is the knower? It is the pure consciousness that knows everything the eyes see, ears hear, nose smells, tongue tastes, and skin touches. Isn't it? It is the pure consciousness that knows the objects, but the pure consciousness conditioned by the body, mind, intellect is what is the knower. Correct? So who is the vijnata? Vijnata is the jiva. Are you getting it? Anusukhani is the pure consciousness conditioned by a particular body, mind, intellect. She is the jiva, she is the knower, she is the vijnata. Are you with me? Now, does the pure consciousness know anything? From this angle, if you say, it's a pure condition, pure consciousness conditioned by the body, mind, intellect knows. The jiva is the knower. Therefore, the pure consciousness which is beyond the jiva is called avijnata. Is that clear? So therefore he is called as avijnata. Then sahasramshu, one with numerous rays. It can be taken as the sun, you know. Self-effulgent sun. Sahasramshu, thousand rays. In the form of sun, the Lord, through thousands of rays, illumines this world and blesses this world through nourishing the plants and the soils and the minerals. So therefore, it's called Sahasramshu. Then Vidhata, all supporter. Finally, the supporter is the pure consciousness. What supports your perception? Eyes. What supports your eyes? Mind. What supports your mind? The vasanas. What supports the vasanas? The pure consciousness. So, the supporter of this entire universe is nothing but the pure consciousness. without making its presence known, it supports everybody. Therefore, vidhata, krita lakshanaha. One who is famous because of six qualities or six glories, righteousness, fame, wealth, knowledge, detachment, glory, etc. So, krita lakshana. Lakshana means qualities. Krita lakshana. These six qualities if you have, we call this krita lakshana. So the Lord has these six qualities. Absolutely knowledgeable and absolutely detached. The whole world has come out of Lord and Lord pervades the whole world. Yet whatever happens in the world, Lord has got nothing to do with it. Totally detached. So therefore, he is called as Krita Lakshana. Also another meaning for Lakshana is scriptural text, textbooks. So Krita, who is the author of the scriptures, Krita Lakshana. All the scriptures have come out of great sages. When they were in deep meditative state where the ego had dissolved. So it was the pure consciousness that was talking through them. Hence you can say Krita Lakshana. Next shloka. Gavastinemi Sattvastaha Simho Bhuta Maheshwaraha Adi Devo Mahadevaha Devesho Deva Bhrikuruhu Gavastinemi Sattvastaha Simho Bhuta Maheshwaraha Adi Devo Mahadevo Devesho Deva Bhrikuruhu Gavastinemihi. The center of the supreme planetary system. Gavasti means race in Sanskrit. Nemihi means spokes. So therefore the term indicates one who is the hub of the wheel of light in which the spokes are his own rays of brilliancy. The interpretation is given. So, the sun is considered to be the center of the planetary system. And the heart of the sun is the pure consciousness. So, therefore, he is called as Gabasti Nemihi, the center, the supreme center of the entire planetary system. Everything revolves around that pure consciousness. Sattvastaha, abiding in sattva. Now, pure consciousness is actually beyond sattva. Sattva, rajas, tamas are the three gunas. You cross the three gunas and you become guna atita, which is the pure consciousness. But here is called as sattvastaha. When a lake or a pond is covered with green mantle, the sun above cannot reflect. When the dirt covering the pond is removed, then the sun above reflects in it. So the pure consciousness reflects in the sattvic people. In the sattvic aspect it reflects. It is there pervading in the rajasic and tamasic also. But due to so much of dirt, it is not revealed. Though it's there. So hence is called as sattvastaha, abiding in sattva. That's why we have to constantly fight against tamas and rajas and bring ourselves to establish in the sattva. Simha. Simha means lion which fights against all the negative forces. So the negative tendencies will be destroyed if you worship Lord Narayana. Simple. When you light a lamp, the darkness will automatically go. Instead of talking about darkness, fighting with darkness, simply light the lamp. So when we start keeping our mind in these kind of thoughts, the desires for the world which are there in us slowly, slowly reduces. Because you are, see, how does a desire multiply? By constantly thinking about an object. If you shift your attention towards something else and not think of that object, slowly, slowly the desire weakens and it perishes. So, all the negative forces that come in front of the pure consciousness gets destroyed. Like Simha. Also it refers to the Narasimha Avatara. The Lord took Bhuta Maheshwara, the Lord of all, great Lord of all beings. One who lords over and commands all the beings. Now, the entire activities of the beings are possible only because of the pure consciousness and living. That is not possible. And then it's called Adi Devaha. The first being, first Lord, first Deva. First Deva in the sense, you light a lamp with a matchstick. Then from that lamp you can light as many lamps as you want. So the very first source of light, the very first source of illumining, that is the pure consciousness, the very first deity, Adi Deva, Adi, the beginning. Another interesting interpretation given by this one particular author is, Adi means one who eats. Deva means one who evolves. So the term can mean one who evolves by consuming the names and forms. It's a beautiful interpretation. Isa vasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagat kena tyaktena bhunjita magrata kasya siddhanam. The very first shloka of the Isavasya Upanishad. And for the Isavasya Upanishad, the invocation is Om Purnamada Purnamidam. Purnat Purnamudachyate. Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Avashishyate. Here again the same thought is given in that invocation. What is given here? When you see the clay, the pot name or the name as pot is consumed. Clay consumes the name and pot shape, name and form. So, Adi Devaha, as the names and forms are consumed, the Deva or the illumination starts shining through you. So the Maya from which this names and forms have come about slowly starts receding as the divinity comes. When the sun comes, there can be no darkness. In the presence of sun, there can be no doubt. So therefore, Adi Deva, Mahadeva, great deity. All the other gods have risen from this god, the pure consciousness. the Supreme Lord, when they themselves are in trouble, they go to Him. All the Devas are in trouble, they go to Lord Vishnu. Devasaha. The Lord of Devas. Devasaha. Unquestionable supremacy over not just the beings of this world, but even the beings of Swarga. Therefore, he is addressed as God of all gods. Devasaha. Deva Vrit Guruhu. One who is the king of gods, Indra, etc., and also the teacher. In other words, he is both the protector as well as the advisor. Devas themselves take their advice from Narayan. Hence, he is called as Deva Vrit Guruhu. Guru is the one who gives direction. He gives direction to all the beings, even the Devas. Uttaro Gopatir Gopta, Uttaro Gopatir Gopta, Jnanagamya Puratanaha, Jnanagamya Puratanaha, Sharira Bhuta Vrit Bhokta, Sharira Bhuta Vrit Bhokta, Kapindro Bhuri Dakshinaha, Kapindro Bhuri Dakshinaha, Uttaro Gopatir Gopta, Jnanagamya Puratanaha, Sharira Bhuta Vrit Bhokta, Kapindro Bhuri Dakshinaha, Uttaraha. Uttara means one who helps to lift us from the ocean of samsara. Uttara. One who is the Tirna or liberated from samsara. He is liberated from samsara and he helps us to liberate from samsara. Hence he is called as Uttara. One who is greater and nobler than all other deities. Uttara. See, gods, when you write in plural, it talks about the devas. When you say God singular, it is referring to Brahman. So, compared to the devas, Brahman is great. Uttara. Beyond. You understand? It is beyond everything. Uttama Purusha. Gopati. Go means, one meaning is cow, one meaning is earth, one meaning is Vedas. So, Gopati, a lot of Vedas, lot of cows. Cows mean senses. Lot of birth, lot of speech also. Gopati. So, the shepherd boy Lord Krishna, it refers to, it can be taken like that. Or, it can be taken as the Lord of Vedas, Shastras. The Shastras are given by the Lord Himself. That's what it means. Then, Jnana Gamyaha. And that Lord who is Gopatihi can only be known through Jnanam. That's what Gopatihi means. Sorry, before Jnana Gamya there is Gopta. I already went from Gopati to Jnana Gamya. Gopta means protector. One who protects all living creatures. When you follow Dharma Chakra, he protects. So, if you don't come under the righteousness, you go away from his blessings. As long as you follow the wheel that is set in motion, you will not have any problem. The moment you go against the wheel that is set in motion, you will be in trouble. So, there is Gopta, then Jnana Gamya. One is to be attained only through the subtle perception of Jnana. karma, any amount of action you do will not help you to realize the self. What will help you to reach Brahman is only the knowledge. Years together one can be performing rituals, but they will be stuck. But when they come to knowledge, when they digest the knowledge, to that extent they instantly get released. So then what is the reason for action and devotion, the path of karma and bhakti? Like I've said before, the path of karma and bhakti is for the purpose of chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata. When you have chitta shuddhi and chitta ekagrata, jnanam will help you to realize the self. Therefore, you must follow karma, bhakti, everything. But ultimately, what will liberate you is jnanam. Otherwise, you can be doing karma for years together, nothing will happen. Therefore, jnana gamyaha. It is not an object of comprehension. It's a subjective apprehension. Puratanaha. Puratanaha means beyond time. Even before time. Even before time means the concept of time is not there in deep sleep. Only in this dream state and waking state the concept of time is there. So the pure consciousness pervades the deep sleep as well. And the pure consciousness also pervades. The self is even beyond deep sleep. Therefore he is called as Puratana, before time. Then Sharira Bhuta Bhrit. The one who nurses the very elements from which this body is constituted. Pancha Bhutas, earth, water, fire, air, space. All these are nourished by the pure consciousness. And the combination of it is this body. So, Sharira Bhuta Vrit. The Lord is the one who controls all the five elements. That's what it's called. When you say Sharira Bhuta Vrit, Bhokta. Very, very interesting. Lord is Abhokta Akarta. But he's also called as Bhokta. The same Lord sitting inside the individual is experiencing all through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, mind, intellect. Ultimately, who is it that is enjoying? Lord who seated, identified, conditioned. So when the conditioning drops, it's beyond enjoyment. But when the conditioning is there, he becomes the enjoyer. That's why he's called as Bhokta. Kapindraha. One who is the lord of monkeys. Kapihi. Kapi means, Kapi can refer to monkeys as well as boar. So Kapindraha means the lord of the monkeys. Who is that? Who is that?
Ram.
Ramchandra ji. Now, monkeys represent your thoughts. Thoughts run helter-skelter. They don't stay in one place. So these monkeys are all nothing but the thoughts. So the Lord of all these thoughts is the pure consciousness. Hence it's called as Katindra. When you direct your thoughts towards the self, the thought starts becoming controlled. When there is a point of concentration given for you, when your mind goes away, when you become aware that it's gone away somewhere, you can bring it back. You'll bring it back. You'll bring it back. So, the Lord is called Kapi, Katindraha, the Indra, the leader of monkeys. Mind gets disciplined by the pure consciousness. Bhuri Dakshina, Bhuri Dakshina. One who gives away large gifts. See, we only do the actions. The results are given by the Lord as per our karma. Therefore, it's called as Bhuri Dakshina. Karma Phala Data. That's what it means. Bhuri Dakshina means Karma Phala Data. As per one's effort, he gives Dakshina. So therefore, we don't have to worry whether we'll get the Dakshina or not. Or when we get the Dakshina, we need to understand that it is as per our efforts. Nothing that belongs to you will be taken away by somebody. And nothing that doesn't belong to you can come to you at any point in time. So, Bhuri Dakshinaha. Karma Phala Data. We can do only actions. He is the one who gives the result. Next. Soma Pom Mrutapas Somaha. Soma Pom Mrutapas Somaha. Purushit Purusattamaha. Purushit Purusattamaha. Vinayojaya Satya. Vinayojaya Satya Sandaha. Vinayojaya Satya Sandaha. Dasharha Satva Thampatihi. Dasharha Satva Thampatihi. Soma Pomrutapas Somaha. Purujit Purusattamaha. Vinayojaya Satya Sandaha. Dasharha Satva Thampatihi. Somapaha. Somapa. Somapa means one who drinks the soma juice in the yajna. Basically means one who partakes the offerings in the yajna. Everything is offered into the pure consciousness. See, now, through the eyes, the color and form are offered. Correct? Through the eyes, the color and form is offered. Then the offering goes to the sense center, which is in the mind. Then the pure consciousness strikes the sense center in the mind, means the object that is offered hits the pure consciousness. Then what happens? You see, you hear, you smell, you taste. So therefore, who is receiving everything that you offer? The Lord. The pure consciousness. So hence, he is called as Somapaha. All the offerings are received by the Lord in all the rituals. So he doesn't see what you offer. He only sees how you offer. Isn't it? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachat tadaham bhakti upahartam ashnami priyatatmana. Beautiful shloka. Yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat purushva madarpana. Whatever you do, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhosi dadasi yat, means whatever you give, whatever you do, whatever you distribute, give, whatever actions you perform, is it, doesn't matter. Tat purushva mad arpana. Because if you understand that ultimately it is received by the pure consciousness, then you will not have any problem. So, therefore, he says, Somapa, Amrutapaha, one who drinks the nectar, Lord is none other than the absolute bliss. So when you reach the self, you experience the inner bliss which is Amrita, beyond birth, beyond death. When the Lord, when the gods and God, when the gods and demons together churned the Milky Ocean, when Amrita came, it was taken away by the Asuras. Then the Lord came to take it back from the Asuras and distribute it among the gods. So, at that time he had partaken the Amrita from gods, with gods. Therefore called as Amrutapaha. Then, Somaha, one who is in the form of the moonlight. What does the moonlight do? It nourishes the plant kingdom at night. So therefore, he is called as the Soma Purujit, one who has won numerous enemies. Puru literally means many. Purujit means many enemies have been conquered. Puru Sattamaha. Of the greats, he is the greatest. One who is the greater, one who is greater among the great. Vinaya. Beautiful. When he talks about Puru Sattamaha, immediately he talks about Vinaya. In spite of all the greatness, he remains humble. Vinaya. Humility. Also, there is another meaning. Vinaya means one who is humble. Another meaning is one who humiliates the enemies. Vinaya. One who destroys all the enemies. Jaya, victorious, always conquers the evil forces. When a person realizes the self, he completely conquers the mind, thoughts, and realizes the self. Hence, it's called as Jaya. Real victory is conquering the mind. All other victory is not victory. Satya Sandaha. Satya Sandaha, of truthful resolution, Sankalpa. Very interesting Nama. When you take a vow, resolve to do something unselfish or selfless, the entire universe conspires to help you. So, of truthful resolution, Sankalpa. What kind of Sankalpa can the Lord have? Nothing for oneself. No. Just wishing the welfare of every being. So, Satya Sandaha. Always in thought, word and deed, righteous and truthful. That's what it means. Then, Dasarha, who was born in Dasara race, called Yadava race, Yadukula, we say, no? Yadava Kula is called Yadukula. So, hence, Lord got the name Dasarha. Satvatam Patihi, a lot of Satva people, those who follow a tantric method named Satva. The scriptures of Satva tantric people are essentially Satvic in nature. Doesn't talk about all those destruction, etc. So therefore, Lord Narayana is what is referred to as Satvatam Pati, the Lord of those who follow Satva Tantra tradition. Next shloka. Jivo Vinayita Sakshi, Jivo Vinayita Sakshi, Mukundo Mita Vikramaha, Mukundo Mita Vikramaha, Ambo Nidirananthatma, Ambo Nidiratnantatma, Mahoda Dishayontakaha, Mahoda Dishayontakaha, Jivo Vinayita Sakshi, Mukundo Mita Vikramaha, Ambo Nidiranantatma, Mahoda Dishayontakaha, Jivaha. The Jiva, the individual, is none other than Brahman. All the jivas that you see can be worshipped as gods. So that's why you say namaskar to every jiva. You are basically saying the namaha to the atma, the center of any being. So one who remains the limited ego is jiva. But who is this jiva? The pure consciousness reflected through the body, mind, intellect. Therefore, the jiva is also none other than Brahman only. Vinayita Sakshi. Beautiful. The witness of modesty. The very sense of humility in the devotee's heart is illumined by the pure consciousness. He is the one consciousness that illumines the very sense of humility in his devotee's heart. So Vinayita Sakshi, who remains a witness to the devotion in the heart of the devotee. The devotee, devotion means what? Who is a devotee? Don't say one who has devotion. Who is a devotee?
Whom one who completely follows the guru or the god or whoever, higher person with no
ego.
Ego though not possible, but with no with complete surrender, trying to completely surrender, I would say.
Yes.
Would want to completely surrender, but I don't know how successful. But yes, with devotion, with complete with an emotion to reach higher.
Devotion means self-effacement. A devotee is one who has achieved this self-effacement to some extent. So when you say, I am devoted to work, what does it mean? The worker is dead, only the work is there. To the extent you are devoted to work, the worker is dead in it, only the work is there. Such work is called yoga. See, the mind, intellect, everything should be integrated completely. So, vinayita sakshi. So the ego completely dissolves in the highest bhakti. But when you are in the path, like you said, to a great extent, your ego is dissolved. And the pure consciousness is the witness for all that. So he says, vinayita sakshi. Mukundaha.
So a devotee's ego is to a large extent gone?
Yes, surrenders, no? When he's in the Lord, he says, thy will be done, not my will be done. Only your devotee. In fact, in the South Indian Mandir, if you go, if you give the coconut to the priest, he will break it into two halves and do the archana and give it, you know, one half he will give it to you. But there will be another place where a full coconut, complete coconut is smashed. Have you seen that? Smashed into pieces. Have you seen that?
No.
Nobody has.
No, yes, they do it in the mandir, no? Where they...
South Indian mandir, if you go. In fact, people used to do it anywhere and everywhere. So now most of the mandirs, what they did is they kept a separate place for it. Then you can go and smash the coconuts into pieces. What it means is you've got to completely shatter your ego.
So Tirupati ji is the only temple where you're not allowed to bow your head. I've never understood why. They instantly vacuum when you are bowing your head to the deity when you reach there. Do you know why they do that, Guruji? I've never understood.
I'm hearing this for the first time myself. There's nothing like it. What do you mean you can't bow down?
Yeah, they say you're not allowed to bow down your head there. I don't know if anyone else has experienced this.
I have not even heard, forget experience. I've gone there many times.
I've also been there 3 times and all 3 times they have kind of correct, vacuumed me actually, those two women who stand there. They give one
They're not vacuuming you for bowing your head. There is no time there if you're sitting
down. No. They don't bow your head.
Huh?
I think it's more to just keep moving and not like...
No. They tell me don't bow your head. You're not supposed to bow your head here. I mean...
Ask them to read Bhagavad Gita. I don't know if there is some other significance. I don't know. But in Bhagavad Gita, he says, bow down to me. Take my word as supreme. Now, if you read those words, it will be highly egoistic words. But what he means is, work for the total. Don't work for yourself. But bow down to me means what? Bow down to the entire world. Don't bow down to your pleasures. So what do you mean you don't bow down to Narayana, Balaji? Balaji is the representation of the truth. He is the one who gave the Bhagavad Gita in Krishna, Sri Krishna's incarnation. So bow down means what? So I don't know what if there is some significance, I don't know. But bowing down means what? When the knowledge hits your head bows down. You understand as jiva, just a small dot, less than a small dot. It's incredible how the whole solar system and then the multiple universes that are talking about. In that, we are just a small speck. All this rubbish, you say, superpower and this power, that. What superpower? Nothing it is. So, when you compare ourselves with the total, we are nothing. Once that jnana comes, your head automatically bows down. Vinayita sakshi, mukundaha, one who gives liberation. Mukunda means one who gives liberation, moksha. Amita Vikramaha, immeasurable power, prowess, unbelievable prowess. He can become so small also, he can become so big also. Amita Vikramaha. As Trivikramaha, he conquered the three worlds with three steps before Amita Vikramaha. Ambo Nidhi. Ambo Nidhi means one who is a substratum for all the four types of creatures. The Devas, human beings, Mains and Asuras. All the beings, the supporter is the Lord. Ambo Nidhi. Ambo, very interesting, the name here, direct meaning is ocean. Ambo Nidhi. The treasure house of water. Ambo Nidhi. The Lord who, without water there is no life. Without water there is no life. So the source of life is the Lord. That is one way of looking at it. The substratum. Ananta Atma. The infinite self. One self has become this many beings. Therefore the Ananta Atma. The infinite self. Maho Dadishaya. One who rests on the great ocean. Lord Narayana. Is sleeping on this great ocean. You know. So it refers to the Lord who rests on this milky ocean, Lord Narayana. Antakaha, the death. Very interesting. Death also is called as Narayana. Antaka. If things don't change, we will not evolve. Constant change is what has made us alert to handle all this and survive. Otherwise, things are routine, then nothing will happen. We have not evolved. So, antakaha, death. Death means, it can also be taken as the death of ego. When the ego dies, what remains is pure consciousness. Antakaha. Also, antakaha refers to time. Time that constantly changes, therefore bringing about the alertness. The creative development of the human being is possible only when there is change. In fact, they say, you got to move away from a place where everything is provided to you. Children move away from parents. They have to do everything. They go to hostel. They have to do everything. Then they become more strong. Here at home, the parents pamper it. So death. Philosophically, when you look at death, death means, birth means change. We'll stop here, 520. We turn up to 520. Stop here. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Ayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Vidyatmanava Prakriti Swabhavat Karomi Yadyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayam. Hari Om.